Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The best Giants talk in the Bay is on 95.7 The Game. Reaction to every pitch.
Miller throws. He got him with the fastball. Miller's pointing at all the Reds.
Every home run.
High drive! Left field! Out of here!
And every big play.
A little slow roller. Chapman. Barehand! Got him!
It's your fix for Giants baseball.
It is a dream come true, but it's a very recent dream.
The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap.
Ooh, hello there, everyone. Welcome into the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. And we don't have a highlight from last night, because why would you want to pull a highlight from last night? Giants lose 9-4 to the White Sox. And as Bonte Hill once said, I'd rather be the White Sox. Well, today, we would probably rather be the White Sox, but still lots of Giants talk that we can get into. Again, Giants lose 9-4 to the White Sox last night. All nine of the White Sox runs coming in an absolute disaster of a fourth inning. Sox sent 13 guys to the plate in that nine-run inning. Got five hits in that inning, three walks, couple hit-by-pitches. Not a fun night for the Giants last night, but we'll still have fun this morning because we got Dan Devone in with us this morning. Dan, how you doing today?
Well, I'm going to provide the silver lining.
Ooh, okay. I like a silver lining.
As bad as it has been for the Giants, let's just keep in mind that it was a short, very short 2 years ago where the now resurrected Chicago White Sox were losers of 120 games. See, there's always something positive you can take away from even what took place last night.
Like, if the White Sox can turn it around, what's stopping the Giants from turning around? That is certainly a good way to look at it. That's kind of the only thing you can really do at this point, Dan, is try to look for silver linings in this team on how things could get better. They're 11 games below 500. They're double digits games below 500 for the first time since 2019. Farhan Zaidi's first year with the Giants, Bruce Bochy's last year with the Giants. And every single week, Dan, this season spirals more and more into a season that
looks so much like that 2017 Giants season, where it's just the losses just kept piling up, and they could not do anything to ever turn it around. They couldn't get the momentum going to turn it around, and every losing streak just seems to drag on and on and on. They can't get that momentum to turn into a winning streak, and it's getting bleaker, Dan. It's getting bleaker by the week right now with this team.
Yeah, and then last night, you think that you got a shot because Trevor McDonald has been, maybe along with Casey Schmidt and Luis Rise, one of the few, very few bright spots on this team this year. And then McDonald rolling along until he ran into the fourth inning where he just lost his control. Actually, he didn't look like the sort of McDonald we have seen over the last couple of starts, and certainly had an issue trying to find the play. But the one thing that jumped out at me when you're watching the Sox is that they took full advantage of the fact that he was a bit wild. I'm not so sure if that's the San Francisco Giants with this team which refuses to walk, that they're able to go as deep into counts, get hit by pitches. They're probably, that's probably an in-and-out inning for the San Francisco Giants, but the White Sox recognizing that, hey, let this guy find the plate, that inning took exactly a half an hour. And by the way, Sam, I'm devoted to the show and the Giants, but I was done after that. I'm like 9-0. I'm not spending the rest of my Friday night, when I'm a bit under the weather, watching this mess.
Yeah, didn't really miss a whole lot. I will say this, they did fight back a little bit. They did, not immediately. It's the White Sox sends 13 guys to the plate in that top of the fourth inning, Dan, and the Giants in the bottom of the fourth responded by seeing 10 total pitches from Davis Martin, and I will say this, Davis Martin coming into the game last night, Dan, his previous six starts, which is totaled 38 total innings over those six starts, he had allowed only five runs.
He's been good. Yeah.
He has been really, really good. Like, he was a legit 6-1 last night, and they did tag him up a little bit, which was good to see. It was good to see some fight from this lineup. Unfortunately, it was just, too much of a deficit to overcome. Fans were still getting into it, though, last night, though, Dan. The anger in the stands in the fourth inning was very palpable. There was a lot more booing going on during
after
that
inning. After the Adamas threw it away, Devers couldn't pick it.
Yes.
That's about the loudest I've heard the boo birds in over the last couple of years.
The Adamas error, Adamas throwing error to Devers, that kind of felt like, and there was another play a few minutes after that. There was a sharp grounder to the third that bounced off Rafi that got away, and the guy was able to reach base because of it there. And that was very unfortunate because Rafi Devers had two incredible defensive plays. Yeah. In the first couple innings there was one. It was in the first inning. Who was it here? My guy. Sam Antonacci, who I guess is leading the league hit by pitches, and yeah. He got hit twice in that fourth inning. He hit one 101 off the bat that Rafi knocked down, picked up, was able to get the flip throw to McDonald there. And then Montgomery, what's his first name? Was it Chase Montgomery? Colson Montgomery. Colson Montgomery hit a 114 line drive, a mile per hour line drive off the bat that Rafi was able to snag. So Rafi had some good defensive plays last night until later in the game when he didn't have any good defensive plays.
Well, and that's kind of been the story of Rafi in terms of his defense. It's not bad, but it's far from being good, but it's much improved. And you can see that, look, that guy was a corner infielder for, 6 years?
Yeah, he played third base for the Red Sox.
Until Bregman. And I can understand why he's like, really? I'm just going to give up this position I've held for the last 7 years, and Bregman's just going to step in? And so, but he refused to play first base, which is sort of the irony out there for Boston fans. But he's clearly improved from where he was the first time we saw him put on a first baseman's glove. But that's not the reason why the Giants lost. This is a team that if you're going to score four or less runs every game, then this is what you get. And the minute they put up that crooked number, did the White Sox, everybody, maybe there's some teams where you're like, all right, maybe we chip away at this, get a couple of runs, it's still early. The minute you see a nine spot and it's the 2026 version of the San Francisco Giants, you're like, let's go do something else. This ain't going to happen.
And again, yeah, they did show the fight, but it was just far too much of a deficit to overcome there. And again, Dan, talk about that fourth thing with Trevor McDonald. He did the first time through the lineup. He looked great. He was 9-up, 9-down that first time through the lineup there. But then again, yeah, he did start getting wild. He hits the first two batters of that inning. Then Miguel Vargas steps in and had a couple loud foul balls there before he flew out to Casey Schmidt. But then where things really started to fall apart, and there was kind of a little bit of a bad luck element to this. Montgomery gets a little dribbler down the third base line. Chapman gets to it. And rightly eats it. I think, some third baseman maybe try to rush that, make a play, then end up throwing down the right field line. That's when they did the mound visit there. The bases loaded, one out. You still have a chance to get out of this inning without any, you know, significant damage. And so they do a mound visit. He immediately walks Chase Meadroth, missing outside way too much. And then Benintendi gets that double on the first pitch down the left center, left field line. And at that point, all the good vibes were gone. And then it just snowballed from there. You get a dribbler to Arias. That he tried to, you know, fling home, wasn't able to.
Well, that was the wrong decision.
No, he should have, again, like Matt Chapman, he should have eaten it. Peter strikes out, and then Derek Hill comes in. He goes opposite field, and then it just keeps going and going and going. And then Murakami gets another bases loaded double. That was kind of, you know,
it's a good piece of hitting by him.
Oh, he was. Yeah, it was a great at bat for him on that one. And that's when the booing really started to get bad. And then, of course, the Willie throwing error. That's kind of when the booing crescendoed in that one. You've been hearing a lot of booing at Giants games this year, and that's not a good thing.
I got a question for you. First of all, were you at post last night?
Was I what?
Were you doing post game last night?
Yeah, I was there in the post.
Did you talk to Vitello?
Yeah, no, I was part of the post game presser.
I'm sort of curious. God bless this guy, because I get it. It's his rookie year, and he's still keeping the same demeanor. At what point does he begin to get a little short with the media? At what point does he begin to wear some of this frustration? Because I'm watching him every night, and he's the same guy. And maybe this is just who he is. But I'm keeping a watchful eye, just waiting for him to get, at least show signs of a bit of, yeah, this is getting to me. Because he's maintained essentially the same demeanor from day one. Would you agree? You're there much closer.
Oh, no, he absolutely, I think you kind of hear snippets of it at times. Like, I've always kind of wondered how much he enjoys doing the media stuff. Like, he's always said comments like, I know you guys in the media have to ask about that, or it's fun for you guys in the media to discuss this. And I always thought that's kind of like a weird way to say things. But for the most part, no, I think Tony has kept a pretty even keel throughout all this, which is what you want out of a manager, obviously. Whether he changed or not, I don't know, because what you hear everybody else say, you know, whether it's Dave Fleming, whether it's Buster Posey, of all the people who are wearing these frustrations the most, whether it's the players, the coaches, the front office, Tony's the one that you hear is wearing it the hardest. And he's the one who's out there answering the questions every single day, the same Bryce Eldridge questions every single day. Bryce Eldridge 0-for-4 last night with 2 strikeouts. So, again, it's still May. It's still Memorial Day weekend, Dan. Oh, God, it's 51 games into the season. This is where we're at. We'll see where things are at come July when they're even further under 500 and the weather's getting hotter and the misery's been longer. And, you know, he talked last night about building up scar tissue this year because of all the hard times they've been going through. There could be a breaking point at some point this year. We'll see later in the season, though, if we get to that point.
Well, I'm just wondering where the team goes from here. And I'm sort of an optimistic, sort of take an optimistic viewpoint when it comes to the Giants this year. I do believe that there's going to be a pivot. I don't think they're going to the postseason, but who the hell knows? I do not see this getting any worse. It can only get better. How can it not at this point? I guess the bigger question...
There's always a way it can get worse, Dan. If there's one thing I've learned watching Giants baseball the years, there's always a way it can get worse.
Well, I guess, let me rephrase that. I think injuries in baseball, especially to your pitching staff, are imminent. And the Giants, and for the most part, have been able to avoid that aside from their horse and Logan Webb. But I think at some point you're going to see guys get dinged up. So, yeah, maybe it does get a little bit worse. But I guess I'm referring to more specifically is the hitting has got to get better than this. So let me just ask you sort of the bigger question. If we were to lay blame at the feet of I'm just giving you two options. Door number one is Tony Vitello, and the other is Buster Posey. Which one, Sammy?
Who's wearing the blame more? I mean, I think it's still the blame is being worn more by Buster because this is the team that he put together. Like, I don't know what more you can really ask for from Tony Vitello with this roster. I mean, let's talk about the walk rate here and why the Giants aren't getting any walks. The easy answer is oh, they're swinging too many pitches outside the strike zone. But they're not. Their chasing is actually down a little bit this year. Again, you see it in snippets. You know, two guys I'm going to call out in a positive way, Casey Schmidt and Willy Adames. They love chasing those low and away pitches in the past. Casey declined it a little bit this year. Willy, last few weeks, has been kind of a little bit better at staying away from those low and away pitches. But no, Dan, they've actually seen more strikes in the strike zone than any other team this year.
Yeah.
They're swinging the bat a lot. I think they have the third or fourth most swings of the bat. But they're seeing a lot of pitches in the zone because pitchers don't feel the need to go outside the zone and make them chase and make them nibble on the ends of the zones. And they know they can just pound them right in the end, in the middle of the zone, because the hitters aren't going to connect there. That's not really on Tony. That's on the hitters for not being able to execute. Who put the hitters on this team? It's Buster Posey.
This Buster. Team sees more four-seam fastballs than anybody. Mm-hmm. And this was true with Devers early on in the season until Devers sort of turned things around. But you're right. There's no reason to get cute with giant hitters. Why would you nibble? Like, why would you sort of paint the outside? I'm going to come right into your wheelhouse unless you can prove to me that you can beat me with my bread and butter. Everybody can throw a four-seamer, and everybody can throw gas. That's a starting major league pitcher these days. And that's, you're absolutely right. And there's no reason for them to work the edges with the San Francisco Giants. And that's the reason. There's nothing more than that. Yeah, they should probably take a few more pitches, but until they prove that they can square things up, they're going to see a steady diet of this.
And for the most part, some guys have been improving at the plate. Rafi Devers is hitting the fastball a lot better this month. The part of the zone that was really flummoxing him was the fastball up in the middle of the zone. He was really having trouble with that in the first month. He's come around there. Rafi's starting to look like the Rafi that we expect to see. So I'm not really stressed about Rafi Devers right now. And again, I even with the error he had last night, it was the fifth inning. Benintendi had a sharp grounder there that bounced off of him. Defensively, though, I am more than satisfied with Rafi Devers at first base. He's starting to hit well. Luis Arraez, again, as usual, 10-10, no notes. You're just perfect, Luis.
He's got to go, though.
I know, it sucks.
He's got to go pretty quick. Like, I would trade him before the deadline. Like, he's got to go this week. I'm taking calls, like, ASAP.
Really? So you're that? I mean, that's, I don't know if they need to be that jumping on. I don't think they need to be that quick when it comes to moving Luis Arraez right now, because with Elliot Ramos out, Jung Hoo Lee, whose jersey I'm rocking today, was placed on the IL last night. You do have an avenue to get Casey.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
See Schmidt in the outfield and keep Luis Arraez at second, and then keep Bryce Eldridge in the lineup, though, with the lefty on the mound today. Brian Hudson for the White Sox, you're probably not going to see Bryce Eldridge in the lineup.
But those guys will eventually come back, and to me, I don't know that his stock is going to rise any higher than this. The only thing that can happen is sort of what he did last night, a throwing error. I know he got a couple of base knocks, but it can only come down from here. Mm-hmm. Right now, you always want to sell high. And so if I can get two, maybe three prospects from him right now for somebody that's in the hunt of it, that foresees themselves potentially being in the AL or NLCS, I'm unloading him right now.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first. I mean, I remember a couple years ago when the Marlins had Luis Arraez. They unloaded him in, I think it was mid-May, something like that. And you want to know how I remember that, Dan, is I was at the Coliseum chatting with their assistant general manager, a guy by the name of Gabe Kapler. And we were chatting for a little bit. He's like, excuse me, I gotta go do something really quick. And I see him going to the dugout. He's on the phone. I'm like, oh, I wonder what Gabe's doing. Beep, boop, pop, get a... That's not what the notification is. And as I get a note, oh, Luis Arraez traded to the Padres. Well, so that's why Gabe had to walk away from me. So that's how I remember that one there. That might be the quickest fix, though, Dan, to, you know, get Bryce Eldridge into the lineup, which is to move off Luis Arraez. But at the same time, this team still thinks they could get back into it, whatever it is. You need Luis Arraez in order to do that. And him right now, Rafi Devers, sort of Willy Adames, they're hitting pretty well. No one else in this lineup is hitting. I mean, Casey Schmidt's still hitting pretty well or consistently, but no one else in this lineup is doing anything of note right now, Dan. And when you have only four guys who are kind of hitting well, you would think that would be enough. It just, for some reason, it isn't.
Well, I guess the reason why I would move off of Arraez is because I'm going to give Buster Posey the benefit of the doubt that when he inherited this team, he felt as though it was plug and play, that he was only a few players away from getting back into relevancy.
I agree with that.
That hasn't happened. It hasn't worked with Adames, hasn't worked with Devers, hasn't worked with Chapman. So what I would do if I'm him, and I'm hoping he sees this, is that I'm going to pivot and I'm going to start going younger. And the first opportunity for me to do that is I got to move off of Arraez. And so while I was trying to accumulate free agents and build the team that way around sort of my foundational pieces, I'm going to reverse course and I'm going to exert a little, I'm going to ask for a little patience from, you know, my fan base, because I need to pick some guys out of the draft. And I need to invest in younger players and build what it is that I was part of. And that is, of course, homegrown talent. Because to me, I don't care what sport it is. And if we were doing Warriors this week, I would just be all over you about the Warriors need to blow it up, because I'm a firm believer that you have to do it within your own. Trying to buy yourself a title never works.
Yeah, and that's kind of the big rub with this team is, Dan, you got to go homegrown. Giants fans like homegrown, and that's the problem with this core of Chapman, Adames, and Devers, is that they are not that. And you kind of touched on a couple conversations that we've been having throughout the week. One is about Buster Posey. On Thursday morning, on the morning roast, Spadoni and I played a little game. Who's on the hottest seat of all the Bay Area general managers? John Lynch, Mike Dunleavy, or Buster Posey? And my ranking, or we power ranked it, power ranked by hottest to coldest seat. My power ranking was Lynch, Dunleavy, and Buster. His was Buster, Dunleavy, and Lynch. So we were kind of on the opposite there. And our YouTube poll, our very unscientific YouTube poll, was very much adamant Buster Posey is on the hottest seat. I think 50% of respondents said it was Buster. The other, you know, 25-25 for the other two. Me personally, I don't have Buster on the hot seat right now. I'm willing to give him some runway to figure this out. It is far too early. It's a year and a half in. I understand fans who are losing faith in Buster. I absolutely get that because it has not been a great start to this whole tenure here on the surface. Underneath, though, underneath the hood, you check things out. It's not that bad, actually. I thought the trades he made last year with Camille Duvall and Tyler Rogers have been great. I like seeing Drew Gilbert on this team. I'm very interested to see what Blake Tidwell can become. I liked Jose Budo before he got hurt. We're seeing what Jesus Rodriguez looks like. Parks Harbor's hitting pretty well down in Double A right now. So you got some pieces there from those trades, and you have a chance to make more trades this year. He is improving the farm system. He does have that going for him.
I think the Bailey trade was brilliant, actually, now that I think about it in retrospect. Mm-hmm.
Even though he did hit a home run this week, and now he has more home runs than Matt Chapman, but that's neither here nor there.
He has two hits with the Indians.
Yeah, and so... But yeah, to your point, though, Dan, I mean, that's great. You got the second pick now in the draft. Well, you have the fourth pick overall. You have that second draft pick at number 29, I guess what I meant to say. You have more draft pool money, which makes it easier to sign your draft pick. So the farm system's only going to keep getting better under Buster Posey. So, yeah, I'm on the bandwagon of you could be angry with Buster right now. And I think all Giants fans should be frustrated with Buster and the state of this team. But let's put away the torches and pitchforks right now. You know, let's not heat the seat up a lit right now for Buster Posey. You can be frustrated with where he's at, but I am willing to give Buster time to figure this out because to your point, Dan, as you said at the top of this, I think it is far more of a tougher situation than he anticipated coming in.
Well, the only area of concern that if Buster was here right now, I would say your bullpen. You knew you went into this thing sort of a man down, right? And you never really addressed it, which was, and now it's coming, it's been biting them all year long. And I don't know, maybe it was because of their faith in Ryan Walker, but even at that, they were still like two players. Like, you know, they went into this year with a depleted bullpen, and it was almost like, okay, well, I'll just, you know, we'll figure it out. But everything else is like, again, I say this to you every week. When we unpack this, re-signing Chapman, was that a bad idea? No. Getting Adames, the best shortstop that was available, did you want him or Nick Ahmed? No. Let's get Adames.
And they had no other options at shortstop in the system, and they still really don't.
Well, Luciano.
Like I said.
And then at first base, going to get Devers. I think collectively, everybody was like, that's a bold move, but go get him Buster. The fact that they haven't worked out, is that necessarily on Buster? Yes, because he's got to wear that at the end of the day. But to keep it real, those three have got to hit the damn baseball at some point. So,
no, I agree with you. All those moves seem good at the time. And so it's going to be a tough puzzle for Buster to figure out here. I'm willing to give him the time and the leeway to make it happen. You mentioned the bullpen. Did you hear the
Eldridge thing? I guess it's the bullpen and the Eldridge thing.
Get to the Eldridge thing for sure in a little bit because Tony Vitello said some stuff before the game yesterday that I'm curious how much people will agree with what he had to say in regards to Bryce Eldridge. But regarding the bullpen thing, did you hear the interview that Buster had on local radio the other morning?
I did not.
Okay, well, he went on a local radio station here that we don't say the letters of that station. And he was peppered with all sorts of questions about the state of the team, namely Bryce Eldridge. Things were very day-to-day there. And he was pressed on the bullpen a little bit. You know, why didn't you add a closer? And, you know, the name Edwin Diaz popped up, and he kind of retorted back, Buster did, well, you know, if I'd sign Edwin Diaz, you guys would be pissed about that because Edwin Diaz is A, hurt, and B, embroiled in a cockfighting scandal right now. And those are two things you don't really want. Yeah, those are two things you don't really want your closers to be doing. So, but I'm always anti-signing closers in free agency, Dan. I call that the Armando Benitez rule. I truly believe you have to figure out your closer internally. So I'll look the other way on that. The rest of the bullpen, though, if you didn't want to spend a ton of money, I can get that. Like, for instance, Tyler Rogers would love to have him back, but he signed for $12 million for 3 years with Toronto.
Having a hell of a year.
And he's having a great year. And maybe he's one of those few guys who's worth a $12 million investment. But I also know, like, a lot of teams don't like investing $10 plus million in a reliever.
Yeah.
You know, whether or you can do you know.
And Rodgers, by the way, doesn't close.
No, he's not. He's a middle. And, but you're looking for middle relief right now. That's kind of what you need. But a guy like Gregory Soto on the Pirates, who's making $7 million, he's got a 2.31 ERA. He could have helped this team out.
Was he available?
He was available. Mm. Hobie Milner signed with the Cubs for $3.7 million. He's having a pretty good year. He's got a 1.96 ERA. He'd be great in those middle innings. Scott Barlow, he's got he signed for $2 million. He's got a 3.09 ERA. Our old friend Jacob Junis with the Rangers, he's slinging a 1.71 ERA right now. He cost $4 million this year. So they had opportunities in this offseason to go out and add guys in free agency through further bullpen beyond Jason Foley and Sam Henches. And so when Buster says in that interview that, no, I don't regret any of the lack of moves in the bullpen, that's kind of concerning because, like, you could have done better with this bullpen here. And who knows, that's 2-3, maybe even 4 more wins this team has with a better bullpen.
And I would also say that he doesn't like to define roles. Like, I like a team where you obviously got your back-end guy set, right? Like, a dude's coming in for, you know, he's jacked to come in for that one inning, whether it's the eighth or the ninth. But he doesn't define his 7-8-9 guy. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, I don't really know. It's sort of day-to-day. And it seems as though it's sort of a Vitello thing. And he also likes to bring guys out. He likes to stretch his bullpen guys for an appearance, which seems to be a little bit odd.
There's a lot of guys coming in at the end of an inning and then coming back out for the start of the next inning. And there was a moment last Saturday night, Eric Miller, he's coming off the IL in his first start back, in his first appearance back. I think it was he came in the seventh inning, then came back out in the eighth inning. And it was kind of a rough outing for him. And again, it was his first outing back. And he's, you know, sitting down and going back out there, which is not what relievers are used to doing. No, the bullpen usage has been very peculiar, to say the least.
The mindset of a guy like Eric Miller is, I go out, I get jacked for this one opportunity. Mm-hmm. I go, I don't come back
and get jacked up again. That's not their thing. Yeah,
it's really sort of out of his space.
Like, I do think Eric Miller's a great eighth inning guy. I think he could be their best option to be a closer right now. But I'm in agreement with you, Dan. This bullpen by committee, we had Jeremy Affeldt on the Morning Roast a couple weeks ago. He said he hated a bullpen by committee. And when you look at those great Giants teams who are winning championships in 10, 12, and 14, it was very easy. You knew what you were going to get out of that bullpen. You knew it was going to be Affeldt and Lopez in the sixth or seventh innings. You know, the seventh and eighth innings, you were going to see Santiago Castillo and Sergio Romo. And then it was Brian Wilson in the 10th. Later on, you knew that Castillo was the setup guy in the eighth inning. Affeldt, Lopez in those seventh innings. Sergio Romo in the ninth inning. So it's like you knew who was coming out each time. Guys knew when they could start getting ready. And all the relievers in that bullpen, they'll say, oh, yeah, we're ready every night. We're ready to go every night. They can do that. But, like, ideally, they'd like to know, oh, it's the fifth inning. The seventh inning's coming up. I gotta start getting loose because my time might be coming. Let's keep this conversation going on the other side. That's Dan Devone. I'm Sam Lum. We're coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed, and San Francisco Giants fans. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text in. We love to hear from you. Any and all Giants takes, we will take them. We'll talk about this bullpen situation, the Bryce Eldridge situation. But before we get into all that, I do want to get into Trevor McDonald tonight because you talk about decisions this team has to make, Dan. They got a big one coming up next week.
Oh, no.
And we'll get into that on the other side. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. It's brought to you by Fairmont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
Yay!
Oh, we're back on the wrap. Giants lose 9-4. We're still going to talk a little bit about it. 888-957-9570. Love to hear from the Giants fans out there who are out listening. Or maybe if you're listening, maybe you're watching on YouTube even. And if you are, while you're on YouTube, make sure you become a Game Pass Pro member of 95.7 The Game's YouTube channel. Get access to private AMAs with the hosts, exclusive content from events and in-depth insights after the biggest games. Go to YouTube, search 95.7 The Game, and sign up now to become the latest member of Game Pass Pro. Again, Giants lose 9-4 to the White Sox last night. Trevor McDonald goes...
Hey, did you take your shirt off last night?
I did not, no. Again, Trevor McDonald was 3 2/3 inning. That did happen, though, during the game last night. I guess we can get into that a little bit here. The tarps off movement came to Oracle Park last night.
Where did that originate?
Well, so I'm not sure, to be honest. I just kind of learned about it, the whole thing, last night. So I remember in college football last year, though, you saw this happening a lot. And for those who don't know, the tarps off movement is basically a thing where a bunch of guys get together, rip their shirts off, and just wave them around, and just dudes being bros at that point. And so that happened last night. Start off in left center field. You had a bunch of 20-somethings out there waving their shirts around. You saw it, and they're making all sorts of noise, going, oh, 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 oh. And next thing you know, you see some other people doing it on the other side of the bleachers. Then all of a sudden, someone down the left field line's doing it. And then there's some people down the right field line doing it. Then all of a sudden, in front of the press box, you got people doing it. And next thing you know, half the stadium, it seems, is ripping their shirts off and waving them around. Saw a couple women doing it, too. They had undershirts on. Don't get excited, people. But, yeah, it... It spread pretty quickly last night.
Dan, so were they in the same section?
So it started off again in left center field, beyond that 391 marker out there, in that little corner there right underneath the scoreboard. That's where it started. And I went out there a little bit just to kind of check it out and get a video. You guys can check that video out on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page.
So you saw naked men and you felt compelled to go out there?
Yes, I saw shirtless men. I was just like, oh, I got to get in there. I got to get that social post. So, you know, that's what you do in this industry. When you see something that's going on, you got to be like, well, you know what? The news is happening. I got to go where the news is happening at. And
oh, yeah.
They're down 9-4, and they're doing this thing while the White Sox are hitting. And listen, it was a fun little distraction from the misery that was the game.
When I saw it in St. Louis for the first time, and it was earlier this week, so it was in a section. And then that section grew to two sections where you had the bros with their shirts off. And then it grew to three. Then it became so noticeable. Like, it literally. So I guess each section was, like, they want to say about 75 people. It got to close to 800 people. So it became like. But you're telling me in San Francisco, it's a little bit different. There's, like, some people in one area and then other people in another area. It's not sort of uniform.
I don't think this was coordinated.
Not
I think
that we need to spend the original, time breaking this down.
I mean, the original group, it looked pretty coordinated. Again, I don't know how big that original group was, but I mean, there had to be at least 30 guys out there in left center who were doing it, 30 to 40 guys who were doing it. But I think it's one of those things, Dan, you see a bunch of people doing it, but then someone else around the stadium decides to join in. What it reminded me of is I was at a game, I think it was 2017, I think it's 2017 or 2018 against the Rockies. It was like the sixth inning, and someone in the upper deck takes out their phone and turns their phone light on, starts kind of waving it around. And then someone else does, and then someone else does. And then 10 minutes later, everyone in the ballpark's got their phone out, waving their phone flashlights around. And the Giants went on a little bit of a rally there and ended up winning the game that night. That was just one of those things that was just spontaneous. It was not planned. One person did it, and everyone just kind of followed suit. That's kind of what it was like last night. You had a group of people doing it. Everyone saw it. It's like, you know what? This game kind of sucks, so let's rip our shirts off and have some fun here. And it ended up being a lighthearted moment in a very rough game.
Posse is going to tell us how this whole thing got started.
I have the origin story here. So tarps off, as the kids call it. This is from USA Today. First gained traction in October 2025 when a harmless bet resulted in an Oklahoma State fan removing his shirt and twirling it amid a section of lifeless fans at a football game. And then it spread to Wisconsin, UCLA, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. Young men channeling a sentiment originally expressed in Petey Pablo's first single from his 2001 debut album, North Carolina, raise up, take your shirt off, twist it round, your hands spin like a helicopter. I don't know what that last part meant, but that's the origin story.
Well, you're spinning like a helicopter, you know, spin me right round, I assume. Is that the same song? I don't think it is, actually. I think you're spinning something different around in that song. But like a helicopter, you know, those spin around as well.
Can we do that as a station?
Can we do, yeah, should we do a tarps off of the station? Like when a show gets lifeless?
Maybe not today, but give me a few weeks.
There you go. You got to get ready for it.
There are people at this station that I want to see tarps on rather than off.
Look.
I am not signing it. Were you a wave guy?
Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you.
Not at a baseball game.
Thank you.
If it's like a different sporting event, maybe sure. But like I would go to A's games a lot growing up, and they'd always do the wave every time at an A's game. And
well, it originated, I want to say.
Crazy George in 81 at the A's games. Yeah,
there's a dispute. Is he the original creator of the wave? Because I know there's somebody back in the day at the University of Washington, and this really goes back. I think I saw maybe a 30 for 30 on this. It was sort of a doc. On who created the wave. Is it Crazy George? And I want to say Crazy George roots go back to the San Jose Earthquakes, the then MLS soccer team, and then it carried over to the Oakland A's. But there was somebody in Seattle at the University of Washington that was a cheerleader that says, no, no, I was the originator of it.
Oh, no, they had a huge mural at the Coliseum dedicating the creation of the wave to Crazy George. So unless I see documentation disproving that, Crazy George, you are the creator of the wave. I remember my friends and I,
Rob Weller was the guy's name. Rob Weller is the other
Rob
person
Weller, okay.
who's in dispute of the original starter of the wave.
I'm going to go on Team Crazy George on this one. I'm going local with it. Just going to be that kind of a Bay Area guy.
How about we have them both on the show and have them just debate?
There we go. Tarps off.
Yeah, tarps off.
Yeah, there we go. That's how we'll settle that one. My friends that we would go to games, and the joke we would have is we were going to protest the wave when it came through by standing up and flailing our arms in the air in protest. That was our silly way of protesting, which is, of course, basically doing the wave.
Yeah, if you stand up.
I know, that's the kind of logic that my friends and I had, just to be ridiculous. But no, I was never a wave guy. That's an American League thing. It's not a National League thing. It's definitely not a Giants thing, that's for sure.
Has the wave ever taken place?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
it absolutely haven't.
Disgusting.
Every time it does, you could go on Twitter and every single angry...
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT... you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Let's check in on the Serta counting sheep.
Why aren't we counting anymore?
Well, the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper has the Q4 support system that helps relieve aches and back pain.
We'll never get counted again!
Nope.
Save this Memorial Day. Shop at a retailer near you.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Every Giants fan out there is like, oh, why are we doing the wave? We're not supposed to be doing that. We're better than that. And it's, of course, so it's always when the Giants are like losing by like 7 or something, which always... compounds on the anger. What's the most like fun, goofy fan thing you've ever been a part of? Because you've been to some soccer games in the past. They do weird things there.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily any fandom thing, but I've been to some very bizarre events where I'm like, what the hell just happened? I remember I covered a boxing match in Las Vegas, and it was Riddick Bowe versus Evander Holyfield, and it was outdoors at Caesar's Palace. And I remember there was a guy named Fan Man who at the time would fly into arenas. And he was in this contraption. It was sort of a hang glider with a motor, something that he had created. And I remember telling somebody, because I was ringside, I'm like, see that guy up there? Like, he's getting awfully close. But the fight was so fascinating. It was like Bowe and Holyfield, two heavyweights trading blows in the middle of the ring that nobody was paying attention. Sure enough, sixth, maybe seventh round, this guy beelines it for the ring, and he gets caught up on the turnbuckle, and it's pandemonium, and Riddick Bowe's corner's just beating him, and then like nobody knows what it is to do him, this huge mask, which were his wings, are just covering the entire arena. And I remember like, this is like worlds have collided here. And then there were reports of people stealing chips in the casino. Like, it was mayhem
like the gaming chips. I hear chips. I was thinking about the ones you eat for some reason.
No. This is Vegas lingo here. As the entire strip
like
was
stealing
in chaos.
Chips in the buffet, like your friends with Jonathan Kuminga or something like that. Not those kind of chips.
What about you? Any bizarre sort of?
Nothing as crazy as like tarps off. But at Miami, when I was there after the first quarter, they would do, I don't know what they would call it, but they would basically hit us with the smoke. You know how like when the players take the field, they come out through the smoke. Miami's the originator of coming through the smoke. Everyone decided to copy that. And so at the end of every first quarter, they play like some dubstep music or something like that. And Sebastian the Ibis and all a bunch of other cheerleaders would come out with these fire extinguishers. And they start blasting the music. When the bass drops, they hit us with the fire extinguisher and fill the entire student section up with the white smoke, and everyone's going nuts as they're playing the music and stuff like that. That was kind of like the big first quarter tradition that we would do at Miami Hurricanes games. That was always really, really fun to do the smoke. I know Wisconsin, they do the jump around in the third quarter. That's a very popular one. I always like it's like Cal games. So they do like the little cheer cards during the games as well.
Yeah, well, that's tradition.
So
yeah.
That, I feel like you see a lot of this in the college level. You don't usually see this in the pro ranks, though. These kind of goofy fan, group celebration cheer things like that, like we saw with Tarps Off last night.
So this is well before you, but do you remember Luther Campbell and his association?
Oh, yeah,
with
Uncle
University?
Luke. Yeah. He was a good guy, always taking care of kids, you know? He'd help them out.
Well, that's one way to phrase it. I mean, yeah. When the University of Miami were absolute renegades. It was them against the rest of the world.
Oh, man. Great times. No, Uncle Luke, very upstanding character. You know, he would take these kids under their wings and, you know, under his
wings. We're
talking
about the same guy, right?
Yeah,
the rapper?
Of course, yeah.
Uncle Luke.
You know, he'd teach them the ropes of the world and, you know, impart his wisdom onto them and help them become better men and football players.
All he was NIL before NIL.
Dude, yeah, he would go out and buy food for guys so they didn't have to feel like they had to go and steal it. You know, he wouldn't buy, you know, diapers for guys, his kids, so they didn't have to feel the need to sell drugs to do stuff like that. Like, no, he didn't do any stuff like that, you know, because I always loved in the U when they asked him about that. It's like, no, of course I didn't do that, because that was against the NC2A code. And it's just like, oh, I love that. Of course, I guess they tried to call Nevin Shapiro like Luther 2.0, and he got offended by that, which is...
Shout out Two Live Crew. Is that before you?
Yep. No, okay. I got Two Live Crew on my Spotify playlist. You know, when you're down in Miami, you got Trick Daddy and Uncle Luke. Those are two guys that you got to get.
I've never
very,
heard
very,
Uncle Luke.
love Uncle Luke. You know who I love is Brett in Walnut Creek. Brett's got some thoughts about the game last night. Brett, were you at the game last night?
I was, in fact, at the game last night. Which
were you in tarps off?
Nobody wanted to see me with my shirt off. No, I left mine on. I do find it funny, though, that the biggest highlight of the game was people taking their shirts off.
I mean, that's kind of the state of the Giants right now.
Well, you know, it was such a weird game because, you know, it was McDonald was pitching lights out, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, a walk and a hit by pitch, and next thing you know, there's nine runs up on the scoreboard. And you're like, what's going on here? And I think it's just kind of symbolic on the way that the season's gone so far. You know, it's like you sneeze and it's like they lose four in a row. And I still have a puncher's chance feeling that we're going to get back in this. And I mean, we got to get back in this ASAP. But I mean, the bats have got to come alive. I mean, it was just really boring and dull, you know, pretty much through the whole game yesterday. Even though we scored four runs, it was a boring four. But yeah. Anyway, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Of course. Yeah, that fourth inning took a lot of wind out of everybody's sails, and things were going so well up until that point. Dan again mentioned Trevor McDonald. He went 3 2/3. Those first three innings, he was perfect. You know, Cam Inman was at the game last night. He usually covers the 49ers for the Bay Area News Group. He was filling in for Justice De Los Santos last night. He walks by me in the press box after that third inning. He's like, shh, don't say anything. Don't jinx it. I'm like, dude, don't do that. And of course, right, I'm not blaming Cam Inman for it all falling apart, but those are just the events that took place right before it all fell apart there for Trevor McDonald last night. But Daniel, talk about Trevor McDonald now. You got a decision to make with him. Logan Webb had a rehab start last night. Went 3 2/3, gave up two hits and one run that was unearned, struck out two, walked three. He is expected to rejoin this rotation on Wednesday in the road trip finale against the Diamondbacks. And that's Trevor McDonald's spot, you know. So what do you do there? And I think before last night, I think it would be very easy to say, I want Trevor McDonald to stay in the rotation in some way, shape, or form. Now, though, I think it's a lot easier to say that when Logan Webb does come back, I think Trevor McDonald's going to go back down to AAA because I still think he's got things he's got to work out.
Yeah, I think he becomes your spot starter. And I don't think you're moving Hauser or Molly is really what this comes down to. And, not much like that of Eldridge, but he's got to go down and get his work. And had he pitched, I guess it would be more problematic if he had been sort of the Trevor McDonald he had been in his previous starts, and it would have been a good problem to have. I think I'm with you. If he had pitched, yesterday was almost like a tryout, sort of like an audition. And had he pitched well, say he goes six innings, shutout baseball, double-digit strikeouts, then I think he's in the rotation.
I agree with you. I still think Trevor McDonald has potential to be a solid starting pitcher. The problem I have with him right now, though, is that he's got to increase his pitching repertoire here. Last night, he was leaning very hard on the sinker-slider combo, and it was great the first time through the lineup. There was some hard contact, though, but there was a couple times where he was doing a pretty good job of using that sinker to set up the slider. There was one instance, I wrote it down somewhere. Doesn't really matter. Here it is. Yeah, the first strikeout to Murakami, he was mixing in the sinker and the slider pretty well. There's one guy, I'm forgetting who it was, though. It's neither here nor there. Peppering with three straight sinkers up high, and then it was a 1-2 pitch, goes with the slider low, gets this guy to chase down low there. Love the way he was mixing in those two pitches. But the problem is, Dan, he only has those two pitches. He only has a sinker and the slider. I think he threw like six or seven changeups last night. That's not enough, really, to get that mix going there. You can't be a starting pitcher with two pitches or 2.5 pitches. You got to have at least 4, maybe even 5 pitches to be a starting pitcher these days. And until he can, you know, mix up his pitching repertoire a bit, he's got a cutter in his arsenal, too, that he can utilize that he hasn't really been throwing this year. So I think if he does go back down, he needs to add another pitch, whether it's a curveball, whether it's getting that cutter used more often. But until then, he might be a swingman option, though, in the meantime, until he gets that third and fourth pitch added to his repertoire.
Speaking of developing another pitch, you know this about Kyle Harrison, that he developed another pitch? Because that was sort of the knock on him a little bit when he was with San Francisco, and then he went to Boston, they taught him another pitch, and then they dealt him, obviously, to Milwaukee. And that's sort of the reason as to what he attributes the success to. I mean, that dude could be in the All-Star game, man. His last performance was lights out. So I just thought I'd work in some Kyle Harrison knowledge.
No, it's because, yeah, when he was here, he was kind of just like a more of a fastball changeup kind of pitcher here. And he threw the slurve as well, but he was mainly just, you know, primary a fastball guy, and that fastball is in like the mid-90s too, which that's why he was, you know, not that effective here. And credit the Brewers, man. They moved him into the center of the mound a little bit. His head's more centered with a plate. MLB Network did a great breakdown on this the other day. They moved his arm slot up a little bit, which has helped the slurve out a lot. Credit to the Brewers for figuring something out. There's a part of me that's just like, God, really? The Giants couldn't figure that out? But it is what it is. And so they're going to have to do some more development with Trevor McDonald here. So I think he does go back to the minors when Logan Webb comes back. use that cutter more, use that changeup more. If you're going to be a starting pitcher, an effective starting pitcher in this league, you have to expand the repertoire there. So that, I think, becomes an easier decision for the Giants to make next week. The more difficult decision right now, though, is what the heck they're going to do with Bryce Eldridge. Again, he was in the lineup last night, 0 for 4, 2 strikeouts.
Well, I thought we already just settled that.
What was the settlement?
Well,
there?
With Jungkook Lee out and Elliot Ramos out, he's got to play every day.
Well, yeah, I think it becomes easier for him to play every day. I don't know if they're going to play him against lefties. They do have a lefty on the hill today. But I do right now. It is easy to say, well, if Ramos and Lee are out, you put Schmidt in left, and then Bryce Eldridge is your DH. It's that simple, because him not playing every day is pissing everybody off right now.
Yeah, and so I think that was sort of settled, and that's why I think Arise has got to go. And I guess the bigger question is, and this goes back to my original question to you, is that a Vitello or is that a Buster Posey decision? To me, that's got Buster all over it, and I'm referring to him not playing and pinch hitting. I think that comes from above. Tony Vitello does not, at least at this point, have that sort of prowess to make those decisions.
No, I think this lineup is put together by Buster. And again, Buster was on the radio earlier this week, and he was asked about Bryce, and the word that was used was day-to-day. I think he said it four times when talking about Bryce Eldridge, that it's just very day-to-day right now. And before the game last night, Tony was asked if he's on the same page with Buster regarding that, and here's what he had to say about that.
I think there's two versions of that, day-to-day currently, but in the long run, it's to develop, you know, arguably the best prospect in the organization. And I think everybody feels the same way. He looks very comfortable in the box. You ask our pitchers or our hitters, they all have confidence in him. And obviously the same goes for the front office and the coaching staff. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. So obviously it makes more sense to start him when it's a right-handed pitcher. It does make it a little tricky with Schmidt and Devers and him kind of being that triangle, but I think Schmidt's kind of helped open some things up. I mean, you don't like seeing Ramos not in the outfield, but Schmidt has really, really worked hard at running around out there and given good reason to have faith in him out there. So again, that makes it a little bit easier, but I think it's two different answers. Day-to-day is the present moment, but long-term, I think everybody wants to keep Bryce heavily involved in conversations about the organization and the future.
And the thing to remember about Bryce, he is still
absolute gobbledygook.
There's a lot of it there. I mean, he is still 21 years old. He's got a lot of baseball ahead of him, even not just in his career, but even just this year, Dan. And so, but again, there's the push and pull of how much does he need to be in the lineup? Does he need to be in the lineup every day? And I asked Tony as a follow-up, you know, if he's not getting in the lineup every day, what else can he do to still develop as a baseball player without those consistent at-bats? Here's what he had to say about that.
I honestly think watching the game is massive. It's not anything anybody wants to hear, but Ramos and I talked about that. I've seen it with guys before, especially pitchers, that miss a significant amount of time. If you watch the game without emotion, you're not emotionally invested. You're kind of watching almost as, you know, through coach's eyes or fans' eyes and seeing some things. It can help better prepare you for situations that come up or help you understand situations a little bit better, because it is a total different vantage point when you're out there running around and, again, emotionally involved in the game and there's intensity and all that stuff. But probably more relative to what he'd be interested in is just the work at first base. Obviously, Rafi has done great over there defensively. So anything Bryce can do defensively there or anywhere else opens up more avenues for him to be in the lineup. And then in the cage, probably the best thing is addressing what popped up in the at-bats he's had so far, and almost redoing those or replaying those to make sure he's improving in all the areas that may pop up more here than at the lower level.
So I think two things to take away from there. One is, let's start the second thing first. The second thing is that he does have the time on defense, I think, to work with Ron Washington. Rafi's going to be the primary first baseman, but you know, Eldridge is out there before games taking grounders with Rafi at first base. He's got Washington in his ear whispering, you know, how to play defense and stuff like that. We've seen the work that Wash has done with Arias. And, of course, there's the cage work, too. You're going to get a lot of time in there. But, yeah, Dan, all you got to do is just watch the games. Watch the games and learn. Dan, you can observe a lot by watching.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk right there. You can't bring this kid up and say, hey, let's... That's like me when I go to a PGA event and I sit there and I watch, you know, Tiger and all those guys hit after they play in the driving range. And like, that's It doesn't work that way. He's got to get in the box, and he's got to see this stuff live. Like, he's got to see major league pitching because it's so different at the minor league level. And you don't learn to hit on the bench, man. I'm sorry, Tony. We talked about Tony and his pressers, and he's done a pretty good job in terms of maintaining his attitude. Yeah. But like, that's a bunch of crap.
I'd be curious what Buster's answer would be to that if you asked him. Also, you know, how does Bryce get better? What other ways can he get better by not playing? Because that was my question, was basically to Tony's, like, you know, when he's not getting at bats, what other avenues does he have to get better? Because the belief, as we've had with talk with Dave Fleming about this, is that it's better for him to be up here working with the big league coaches than down in AAA. You got the best coaching up here, the best resources, get better up here. Even when you're not playing, there's still ways to get better. The fact that the go-to answer is just him watching the game is that solution that does not inspire a lot of confidence. Let's keep this conversation going on the other side. 888-957-9570. What do you do with Bryce Eldridge? I think right now it's pretty simple. It's going to get complicated in a few weeks, though. We'll get into that. And also, Buster Posey, again, how much of where are we on Buster Posey right now, a year and a half almost into his tenure here? That's Dan Devone. I'm Sam Lum. It's the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. It's brought to you by Fairmont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit autotrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.